Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, members of the Community Catholic Church clergy gather to worship, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition, and you can join in by clicking on the links that you see on the show page below. And now, let's celebrate our wonderful connection with Creator and prepare our hearts for worship. Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship on this first day of October, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and the feast day of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, also known as the Little Flower. Saint Thérèse had a short life, dying when she was just 24 years of age, but her love for God and her daily promise to do small things to help people and to show God's greatness made her one of our most beloved saints. Today in our service, we're joined by Bishop Jean, the Reverends Janet, Anita, and Denise, and our homilist is the Reverend Janet Warren. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds to come into God's loving presence.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect of the day. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered by your Holy Spirit into one, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The collect for the feast day of Saint Thérèse. O God, who opened your kingdom to those who are humble and to little ones, lead us to follow trustingly in the way of Saint Thérèse, so that through her intercession we may see your eternal glory revealed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 17, beginning at the first verse. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" Stood there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is this Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 78, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 16.
Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord. In the sight of their ancestors, he worked marvels in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass a heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light. He split rocks open in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly from the deep. A reading from Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equally with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you always obey me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and work for his good pleasure.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as the prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father then went to the second son and said the same, and he answered, "I will go, sir." But he did not go. "The will of his father," they said, "the first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, and this Gospel and last week's Gospel are really interesting ones. And although I'll focus on this week's Gospel, it kind of relates to the one from last week. So let's dive in and do it. The Gospel for today is actually two kind of distinct stories, but I'm going to focus on the second one, which is really a parable Jesus has described to his disciples. In this parable, a father asks one son to go and work in the vineyard. The son refuses, but later decides to do as he was asked. The father asks the other son to go and work in the vineyard. This son agrees to it, but then does not do what he was asked. Jesus asked the disciples which of the sons did the will of his father, and they agreed that it was the first son. Parable must mean by relating it to the parable of last week. It actually does seem similar to the last week's gospel, so stick with me while I explain. In last week's gospel parable, a man hires people to work for him and pays those who work fewer hours the same as those who work the full day. That would seem unfair, but as it was described to me by a lovely lady by the name of Alice, whose husband was a minister, it's about becoming a Christian. God doesn't care if you were cradle Christian or came to be one in the last minutes of your life. He loves you anyway and welcomes you into heaven. So the reward or payment is the same whether you were a Christian for 80 minutes or 80 years. Aha, you're thinking. And how does that relate to the parable of the two sons? Well, which of the two sons is depicted as the Christian? The son who exhibited being the good son by doing what his father asked, even though he said he would not? Or the one who wanted to appear to be the good, but said he would do what his father asked, and he did not. My own dad related a story to me many years ago. When he was going to university in the late 40s, early 50s, he lived far from home. Home was Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, and he was attending the University of Toronto. Coming from a rather poor family, there was no money for trips home, so he had to hitchhike. A little scary now, but much more common back. One gentleman that picked up Dad on one of his trips home preached the good word the whole ride and even offered my father a hot meal at his home. As my father tells the story, this seemingly very Christian man then proceeded to kick his dog on the way into the home and slap his wife for not having dinner ready. Get the connection to today's parable? Was this gentleman doing the will of the Father? That's the Father with a capital F, our Heavenly Father. To me, by preaching the good word, he was saying he would do as asked, but kicking the dog and hitting his wife, he was not doing as he was asked. But we all know those folks, the ones who attend church on Sundays, tout the word of the Lord, but are, to throw a visual at you, wolves in sheep's clothing. They appear to be Christian, but underneath it all, are not. Trust me, God knows the difference. We have also met the kind of person who swears that they're not a Christian and don't believe in the Creator, but are the nicest, most giving people in the world. There's a dilemma for our Heavenly Father. Someone who does not love our Father, but loves his neighbor as himself. I'll leave that one for him to sort out. That thought, of course, leads me to another story. Of course it does. This story was told to me by Nancy, a lovely person who attends the church I like to go to. Nancy's sister married an atheist. This troubled the sister all her married life. How to reconcile that her husband was a good, kind, and loving man, but that he did not believe in God. Unfortunately, this man was diagnosed with cancer. His wife was at his side when he was on his deathbed, and he breathed his last, his wife holding his hand and grief-stricken. As she held his hand with tears in her eyes the moments after he passed, his eyes snapped open wide, and he said to her, "You were right. God does exist, and I have seen him." Can you imagine? Even for those of us clergy, this would be astounding. But aside from being a major shock to the wife, what a wonderful gift he gave to her to finally believe and tell her that he did. Was he entitled to his reward, the same payment that was described to be given to those who believed longer? Of course. Our Father is a kind and benevolent God, and this is why we preach his word to anyone we can. It doesn't matter when we believe and follow the commandments, although the sooner the better, but it matters that we do. There are often stories of people who found Jesus while they were in prison. One would assume that if they were in prison, they'd done a terrible thing and most likely broke a commandment or two. But while in prison, they became an entirely different person and came to believe in our Heavenly Father. Has our Heavenly Father forgiven them for their sins? If they have, yes, He has. And now they're entitled to that final reward, the same as those of us who have believed all along. Better than the person who promised to follow our Father all along, but did not. So did I tie that together for you okay? One parable might have got confused with another, so let's review a little bit. Last week's parable tells that it doesn't matter when we begin to work. Our reward is the same. That work, to me, is God's work of being a good Christian, and the reward is our place in heaven. This week's parable tells us that even if we refuse that work, but do it anyway, it's better than saying we're going to do it and not doing it at all. Or as my dad's story exhibited, pretending that we're doing it, but not doing it at all. So remember the part where I said I'd get to that last line of the parable later? I haven't forgotten, and here it is. Yes, John came to you in accordance with God's righteous covenant plan, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. But when you saw it, you didn't think better of it afterwards and believe in him. Even to this day, tax collectors and prostitutes are considered to be bad folk. But if they believe, and in this case, they, the tax collectors and prostitutes, believed John, where others did not. And even though they saw these supposedly bad folks believed, others still didn't believe. It took Jesus to reach many of the non-believers. Which essentially is, believe and you will be rewarded. Now, of course, believe means to follow the two great commandments, but don't just pretend to believe and have your behavior show otherwise. As I've preached before, what's asked of us is actually pretty simple, but we must do what is asked of us for that reward. We must believe in and love our Heavenly Father, and we must love our neighbors as ourselves. Pretty straightforward. My question to you now is this: do you believe? And the question I leave you with is this: how do you follow and exhibit the two great commandments? Now on to the one holy, blessed, and undivided Trinity be all dominion, glory, and power. Amen.
Let us pray. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for this gathering, for bishops and all ministers and people. Pray for the Church of God throughout the world. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit, the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you, for all members of your Holy Church, that in our vocation and ministry we may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, for the well-being of all people, and especially in our prayers this morning, we remember those in Puerto Rico, those who are still contending with the after effects of the earthquake in Mexico, for those in Texas and the southern states still mopping up after hurricanes. We pray for those who are dealing with wildfires and for those other places across the world that are dealing with famine and flooding. We ask that angels arrive to respond to every need. Almighty God, kindle, we pray, in every heart the true love of peace, and guide with your wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that peace and justice may increase until the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. And we remember especially on this day those whose prayers are commended to us, those who have asked us to pray, the people in our lives who need to know God's healing touch, those who are in any need or distress. contending with challenges. We pray for our own needs, knowing that God hears our needs before we ask. Gracious God, the comfort of all who sorrow, the strength of all who suffer, hear the cry of those in misery and need. In their affliction, show them your mercy, and give us, we pray, the strength to serve them, for the sake of him who suffered for us, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I ask your prayers for those who have died in the peace of Christ, for those whose faith is known to God alone. Pray that God may be glorified in all of the saints. O God, the giver of eternal life, we give you thanks and praise for the wonderful grace and virtue declared in all your saints, especially this day remembering St. Thérèse. Grant to us and to all who have died, in the hope of the resurrection, a share in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, and fullness of joy in the fellowship of all your saints. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us give thanks to Almighty God for all of God's blessings. You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and praise. You are worthy to receive blessing and praise now and forever. For yours is the majesty, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all in one spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted, songs of praise are being offered, bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God and give thanks that we too are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings that we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in this world.
May we be the hands of Christ, assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ, speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ, reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see all as our brother and sister, and this planet as a sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone you love this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth in the world, rejoicing in the power of the Spirit.
Be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.